It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Time for us now to continue with our daily focus. We're still talking about sinners. And today our focus is on sin in popular culture. From movies and TV shows to music and social media, depictions of sin are everywhere, often glamorized or trivialized. But what impact does this have really on our societal norms and values? How do we, or at least how do these portrayals influence our understanding of right and wrong? Join us as we analyze the representation of sin in media and entertainment and discuss how we as Christians can navigate these messages while staying true to our faith. Joining us now is Pastor Joseph Fada, who's helping us understand all of this. Pastor Fada, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and how are you today?
I am well. Thank you very much, Pastor. How are you?
I'm very well.
Okay. Let's perhaps kick this off by talking about these portrayals. How is sin typically portrayed in popular movies and TV shows? And what message does this send to viewers?
Okay, it is interesting to note that today we have a lot of content on TV, especially sexual content.
Yeah.
So you'd find the packaging, how these things have been packaged, it is to indicate a situation like this is okay, this is normal. Okay. So there has been a lot of some kind of, trivialization. So it's not a big issue. And when you have observed carefully over the years, when we were younger, you'd find even the content that was shown on national TV and things like that, the sexual content or bad language, or I think it was not so much as it is today. So even growing up, you'd find a situation where you are sitting with your parents, you are watching TV.
Right.
And when the scene wants to come,
yes,
maybe they'll just show somebody riding a bicycle.
Yes.
And that scene moves out, or a vehicle would pass and things like that.
Right.
Or
right.
Your parents would grab a remote and probably things like that.
Right.
So it was like slowly but sure,
yeah,
things were being normalized and so on. But today the content is too much. And, the people behind the entertainment,
right,
they know what they are doing,
Okay.
They know what they are doing. The idea is to influence the thinking of the viewers.
Right.
To influence the thinking of the viewers that it's okay, it's all right. It's not a big deal. And today, when we are dealing with social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok,
right,
look at the young people and the things they are feeding on. I have served quite a number of times as chaplain. And when you are chaplain, you are dealing with youngsters. And these young people, when you begin to have conversations with them, the things that they watch,
right,
it's quite alarming, the rate at which things are moving, especially now.
Right. So tell me, Mfundisi, what exactly is objectionable about what we see on television? I say this because during there was a television program in South African television on SABC1 was so objectionable that the counter argument that came from the producers and SABC1 was that it was reflecting what is actually happening in society. They are not teaching people what they should be doing, and they are reflecting, they are like the mirror to society. So I'm poised to ask, what exactly are we objecting to? Are we objecting to these programs that reflect us and who and what we are as a society, or what? What exactly are we? What is objectionable about what we see on television?
Okay, what we are objecting, it is the content. Of course, you know, society, as things stand, it's like as time is moving, we are degenerating. But then when we put it on TV, the consumption of what is on media, the content, this is what is now being objected, because the younger minds that are consuming that content, it means now the next generation.
What is in that context that is objectionable, Mfundisi? I need to know what
the
exactly
generation, which is the,
what in the content is objectionable, Mfundisi?
Hello,
can you hear me, Mfundisi?
I'm having challenges with network.
Can you hear me, Mfundisi? I can hear you loud,
yes,
and clear. Okay.
Okay.
So my question was, what about the content? What is in the content that is objectionable?
Okay. So what is in the content that we are trying to object? It is the obscene materials sexual content, drug addiction.
Okay.
We are looking at issues of, homosexuality.
Right.
You know, these things are being, whether you're talking of football, Premier League, you know, all these, the agenda seems to be, you know, driving to that direction to say, now when the young ones, because my fear, my problem is the younger generation.
Right.
When they consume that, they think it's okay.
Well, isn't that something that is already happening, Mfundisi? Are we not like peacocks sticking our heads in the sand? Instead of correcting it, we are objecting to it. What is objecting to it going to change societal norms and practices?
You see, someone said that I was reading recently. I was reading an article. A statement,
right?
That was actually written by the Catholics, who said that if you give me a child,
right,
who is less than 7 years, I will. When you give me that child, who is less than 7 years, and I deal with that child, that will be my child forever. Because they will instill values that will make that child never depart from the teachings they would have taught them. And I read that with a lot of interest.
I hear you.
The question is, what values in our homes, in our churches, what values are we teaching these young ones that will counteract what they are seeing on media platforms?
So I like that thinking, Mfundisi, that speaks about the values we as parents teach in our homes. Because the truth of the matter is, while we would like to shelter our children from the vicissitudes of life, life does happen, and all these things do happen out there. We cannot keep our children in a cocoon. Now, again, I ask the question, if we see sex, for example, on television, sex is happening. We have what, over 8 billion people in the world? That's how we made our own children, through sex. That's how we were made, through sex. Why is sex objectionable? Because God created sex.
You know, sex in itself, it is good. Rightly administered at the right time.
Right.
With the right person.
Right.
But what is shown, you know, what is shown, the picture that is communicated,
right,
is that it's okay to have casual sex. Now, this is where now we are going to be looking at the injuries psychologically and physically, emotionally, that will come when this sex is abused. Because ultimately, there will be, you know, breaking commandment number 7.
Right.
There will be a lot of adultery.
Right. Isn't that our job, though, Pastor? Isn't that our job to make sure that we instill these values? Surely the issue of values is not the responsibility of the world. It's our responsibility. My question, for instance, is the instilling of values onto our children teaching our children to resist temptation, teaching our children to have standards and all those things. That's our job. It's not the job of social media. Oh, it's cutting. Mfundis, are you there? Pastor, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question is, does it not mean when the more we see Sodom and Gomorrah happening outside, do we not have the responsibility to teach our children? Ah! Okay, our line is just not playing ball. Pastor, are you there?
Oh, I'm back.
Okay, let's try that again. My question, Fundisi, is Lot, for example. Oh. Yep. Are you there, Pastor?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay. So my question is based on Lot. Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah was brought to his doorstep. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm of the view that the angels were there to teach Lot and his family what they are supposed to do right. Now, should we not do the same thing? Stay inside with our children, teach them what they're supposed to do right, and let sodomites do what they want to do. We can't stop sodomites from being sodomites. Our job is to teach our children, isn't it?
Yes, that is our key responsibility.
Then why do we blame and moan about social media and television and movies being Sodom? Why do we bemoan that? Because Lot never bemoaned what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. He simply took care of his children.
Okay, so at family level, every parent must take responsibility.
Absolutely.
But then we are looking at a larger scope. You know, these our kids, yes, they have been taught these values and they must communicate also those values to their friends.
Right.
But when you are looking at, when you are dealing with a cultural setting, it transcends my family. You know, my family is just a small part
right.
of my society.
Absolutely.
So it is our duty now as Christians to infect good morals and values in the other, in the other families. And this is where evangelism comes into play, you know. But then what we are dealing with when we're dealing with popular culture
right.
is the presentation of sin.
Right.
You know, the presentation of sin, it has been done like, you know, it's not a big issue, you know, God and, you know, like today being a Christian, you are not treated like you are like a happening person.
Yes.
You know, when you are a Christian and you value the principles of God, you are considered outdated.
Yes, yes.
You know, you are considered like you are allowing life to pass you by.
Indeed.
And you are not enjoying the things that are supposed to be enjoyed.
Right, right.
But this is where now we need to stand to say, these same values that seems to be outdated are values that have kept, you know, from generation to generation, those
right.
who have followed them, they have enjoyed good health, they have enjoyed, you know, even if they are in a ruthless world, in a world that has pain, in a world that has suffering, they have, you know, been accorded to have peace that transcends human understanding because they have a relationship with God, you know.
Let's talk about music, Mfundis. We see in the Bible an entire book dedicated to music. We see the book of Song of Solomon dedicated to music that has no God in it, that has no Jesus in it, that has no Holy Spirit in it, that has nothing that we see in the Bible. Quite frankly, we are seeing language in those songs that is the same as the language we see in the Manhattans and the Temptations and the OJs. We see that language, quite frankly, it's even more explicit than the OJs. The OJs during our time were more subtle. We see language that is talking about body parts, as rappers and hip-hoppers are doing today. That's what we're seeing in the book of Song of Solomon. It talks about sex. It talks about body parts and what people want to do to the. It's very objectifying. So the objectification of the human form, we see there in the Book of Song of Solomon and in secular music, which begs the question, what about secular music are we objecting to? Because what we see in Song of Solomon, it's also there in song in secular music. What are we objecting to there?
Okay, so when we're dealing with the literature of Songs of Solomon, you know, when you're dealing with poetry, you are dealing with you know, the category in which it falls. When we begin to do interpretation,
right?
Hyperbolic expressions, where things that are written there are not supposed to be taken literally so, because of the type of style of writing that has been employed by the writer.
Would you say the same thing about R. Kelly's music, that it's just hyperbolic, it's not meant to be taken literally?
The intent of R. Kelly, it is different from the intent of Solomon when he writes that literature.
We don't know that.
You know, so... Pardon?
We don't know R. Kelly's intent. We don't know R. Kelly's intent. We only see the product of their artistry.
Of course. Of course. But you know that these are in business, and what he's selling is what they are giving. You know? And so... That becomes a tricky situation.
It's so tricky, such that Solomon Mfundisi ended up being the wealthiest man in terms of amassing women known to mankind. Not even Babylonian kings have 1,000 women to them. Not even Egyptian kings had 1,000 women they sleeping with. This man who had the wisdom of God wrote songs to these 1,000 women that were sharing his bed. And in his writings, he writes songs about carnal knowledge with them. Again, I ask, what exactly are we saying is wrong in secular music that we don't see in the writings of the Song of Solomon?
You know, you'll be interested to note that most of those marriages that Solomon had,
right,
we are marriages of convenience.
Indeed, I agree with you. I agree with you.
they were with the international relations. You know,
yes,
Israel being located at the center of the world, it was difficult,
right,
to survive. So he needed, you know, to have in-laws everywhere.
Right.
So that they don't fight him. By the way, did you know that during the reign of Solomon, there was no war?
I have no problem with that, Mfunes. All I'm saying is that he used the bedroom to make sure that happens.
Make peace.
His peace was below the belt. He used his... Okay, Mfundisi. So, but I want us to go back to the music, Mfundisi. What are we saying is wrong that is in secular music that was not said by the Song of Solomon? What is sinful about secular music that we don't see taught to us by the Song of Solomon?
Okay, in terms of what Solomon writes, you know, what Solomon is writing, he's writing to his lover, you know, he's writing, he's looking for this one, he's expressing what he wants to do to this person, and things like that. Of course, in terms of secular music, that is exactly what is going to be found there. But then you understand the power of music. It is different from what is written, you know. Young people, of course, they love to read the Songs of Solomon. Probably that's the favorite, you know, part that you would want to read. But when you begin to listen to music, the impact and the effect it can have on you, it is quite different with something that is written, you know. You'd find a young person is listening to this song. Maybe it is even on repeat.
If I were to put music, like tune, to the lyrics written by the Song of Solomon in any of those chapters, take R&B tune and sing the lyrics of Solomon in any of those chapters there, there would not be any difference. We'd call that secular music, wouldn't it, Mfunis? Or is not the Song of Solomon secular music? Because there's no Jesus there. There's no God there. There's no holiness there. There's no Holy Father there. Nothing. No worship. No prayers. Nothing. It's all about sex. So isn't Song of Solomon secular music?
Well, the fact that it is in the scripture, it is not secular.
So how do you define secular music?
The understanding is that, you know, yes, this one is being said to the married person, you know.
It doesn't say there in the Song of Solomon, it doesn't say my husband, it says my love. Those are lovers, not couples, not a married couple. There is no, we eisegize marriage into that couple. That couple is not said to be married. It says my lover. The wording used there doesn't speak to matrimony. It speaks to lust and.
No, it's quite descriptive.
Indeed.
And that's why I said young people love that part, because that those are parts that they read faithfully.
And that's why I'm asking, is it not secular music?
Now you are putting me on the spotlight.
All right, let's conclude, Mfunis. Let me not put you on the spotlight. My final question, and I'll let you go. So what role can Christian artists and creators play in shaping more positive and truthful representations of sin and its consequences?
Yeah, so Christian content creators and artists, they have a lot of work to do.
Right.
Because they need to be mindful, actually, also of the packaging. Yeah, because you look at what your audience is getting and what you are supposed to give, the content should not be compromised. You know,
yeah,
the content should not be compromised, but the packaging should be appealing to the targeted audience.
Right.
And for argument's sake, the target is the young people now.
Yeah.
What are the things that the young people do? Mm. Where are the young people found? They are on Instagram.
Right.
They are on Facebook.
Right.
They are on TikTok. So we need to be on these platforms.
Right.
Because that is where the young people are.
Okay.
So that we give them an option to say there's also this. In as much as this.
Are you still there, Pastor? Oh.
That content.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Pastor, yeah, let's leave it there. Our time is up, and I see our line keeps on cutting. We're struggling to make up what you're saying, but thank you very much nonetheless, Mfunis. We really appreciate your time and your insights.
No, thank you so much.
See you tomorrow, Mfunis. All right, that's how we end our daily focus for today. Our daily focus was talking about sin in popular culture, and you heard for yourself. Make up your mind. And the show continues.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.